It will soon cost a bit more to fill up your gas tank in the city of Bloomington. Aldermen have approved doubling the city's gas tax. GLT's Ryan Denham is in studio with Mayor Terry Renner to talk about that vote and what it will mean for the conditions of Bloomington streets.
The mayors of Bloomington-Normal join us most Tuesdays after the regular council meetings. Mayor Renner, thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
As always, great to be here, Ryan. Thanks.
Well, it was a narrow vote, 5-4 last night, in favor of doubling the city's gas tax. It'll rise from 4 cents to 8 cents per gallon. That expects to bring in about $2.3 million in new revenue for road work per year. So people are always complaining about the condition of streets in this town. So in your own view, what will this mean for the quality of streets in Bloomington?
Well, it's not just my own views based on the evidence, and it has to be evidence-based if you're mayor. And certainly from the evidence that staff has presented to us and the director of Public Works, Mr. Karch, is that this should get us beyond just maintenance. You should start to actually see some net improvement in our streets. And again, our streets were neglected for decades. So we are trying to do what we can and have been for about the last 5-6 years, and actually 7 years. Last year, Mayor Stockton, they really upped the ante in street in money, you know, for our streets. So that is a high priority. It's just streets don't pave themselves. So that is not one thing that you can cut your way out of. So we had to figure out where the revenue was going to come from. The city manager talked to the council. The council has been in, you know, had this. This is conversation, again, is about 7 years old of how you would fund these improvements. And based on the city manager's discussions with the council, it seemed that this was the least objectionable of all the objectionable options. One would be to do nothing. And I think that should have been totally off the table from day one. We can't just continue to let our streets deteriorate. That's what got us into this problem to begin with. Another option would have been to raise other kinds of fees or sales taxes or property taxes. Nobody wanted to go down that route. And what other areas can we cut? Well, we're down 200 people from full-time equivalent people. So that's the real number, the number you want to look at, from 850 to about 650 employees over about the last 7-8 years. And that doesn't mean there aren't other things to cut or to try to economize on, but we're talking about a need for over $2 million a year permanently. One thing that a couple people mentioned, including I believe Alderman Sage, was to dip into the reserves. Well, if you dip into the reserves, then your savings account goes down, and that's not going to last long, and that's also going to lower our bond rating, which is going to cost us money. So, in examining all of the different options for moving forward, this is at least a narrow majority of the council decided was the best of a bad lot.
So Bloomington's gas tax will now be 8 cents a gallon. That is among the highest in central Illinois. You look at, well, Normal obviously is 4 cents. So is Champaign, Urbana, Decatur are 5 cents. So how come all these other cities can kind of make it work at a lower level, but Bloomington is the outlier here?
Well, I think budgets are very complicated. There are a lot of reasons. I think the main reason is that for decades we neglected our roads more than any other community in central Illinois. And by decades, I mean we're talking about the 80s and the 90s and 2000s, well past 2000, in well into 2010, past 2010. So 1 year there was $0 for road resurfacing. So when you've had those legacy costs of the past, you have to do things to move forward. The other things is that some of the city that you mentioned are also smaller. When you sprawl out, you have more costs for sewers, more costs for street resurfacing, more costs for parks, more costs for everything, 911 service, whatever it might be.
And this new revenue is going to be earmarked for road work.
It has to be. Yeah, then that just to make it clear, that's not just by ordinance, that's by law. You have to spend money on streets. And you can spend money on sidewalks, but that money is like in a lockbox, so to speak, using an analogy from the old days.
Even if it is in a lockbox, though, there's always this skepticism that won't happen, that this money is being... why is there always skepticism?
I think because budgets are complicated, yeah. And that's why I have a mayor's open house every 2 weeks. If you have questions, come on in, because we had a lot of people come in last night that were very misinformed about our budget and very concerned. There may be other levels of government, especially the state of Illinois, that irresponsibly uses money. In Bloomington, We have an A-plus from the Illinois Policy Institute on transparency. You can go online and see our budgets. You can come and talk to me. Every 2 weeks, I have an open house before a regular city council meeting on Fridays. I've now had about 150 of them. And so if you want to have some answers, we can get them. By law, it can't happen. By government accounting standards, it can't happen. Any of those kinds of things, the controls that are in place today, those kinds of things can't happen.
And the city has one new idea for transparency that's sort of interesting, a transparency in how it's funding road work. We heard last night about BloomingtonStreets.com. A city recently bought a domain for a website it'll be setting up. What do you know about what the city will be doing with that?
Well, I think some of that's going to depend on what the citizens ask us for. At the very least, you'll be able to determine how your street is ranked, that is in terms of its quality, where it's ranked in terms of when it's liable to be resurfaced, if there are some unusual issues with it. I mean, I don't mean just potholes, because we have a report a pothole hotline, if you will, or you can do that online even, or get an app, this my Bloomington app. But some of that is going to depend on what the citizens want. I also recall from last night the request by Alderwoman Schmidt that the Transportation Committee be more involved in this, and that direct citizen input, because these are citizen appointees who would have greater input. And I think that's an excellent idea to work with the city manager and the public works director to make sure that there is the proper representation from citizens as to how we allocate those dollars moving forward. Because let's face it, I mean, our streets are terrible. Now, they're going to be bad given our climate, but they don't have to be as horrible as they are.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. Mayor Renner, I want to pivot to a kind of a separate but related issue. Last week, GLT and other media outlets reported on the city disclosing that it had mistakenly underbilled the water used by businesses that have like fire suppression systems. So water rates for that increased in 2010, 11, and 12, but those like higher rates were never implemented and applied, and the city lost a bunch of money as a result of that. So the city's not going to retroactively charge the businesses that it didn't collect. It's going to, the increases will go into effect over the next 3 years. But what was your reaction when you found out about that and what had happened?
That was a massive screw-up that cannot possibly be justified. I don't know what – in fact, we still don't know why this happened. This was several city managers ago, several mayors ago, several water directors ago, which is really more important. And it was, I have to credit our current city manager, Tim Gleason, for even finding that this was happening. So we, as we're digging into it, we will find out more why. The biggest thing is what checks do we put into place so nothing like this in any department ever happens again? And again, it's not a situation where you want to go back and just point fingers and say, it's not my fault, it's somebody, 10 years ago or whatever. That's not the issue. Right now, we got to deal with it.
So what are some of the new, other than a change in personnel, what safeguards are in place now, today, 2019, that would catch something like this that wasn't in existence 9 years ago?
A new city manager that's going to watch over and look over the shoulder of, well, we don't have a water director anymore. It's rolled into Public Works, and keep department heads, especially in those situations, I hate to use the term, on a short leash, but basically look over their shoulder much more tightly and demand much more clear accountability for even things that might seem like details. Those are the kinds of things that can maybe be glossed over. I mean, if your revenue's coming in and if you've established your policy, you have some degree of confidence that the person who you have hired as a department head is going to implement that policy in an effective way.
Last week, when GLT and other media outlets were reporting on the story, we asked the city how much it had not collected or failed to collect because of this massive screw-up. And there was no set dollar amount. We were told that the city doesn't know how much.
They're in the process of trying to determine exactly what that is. It's in the millions.
Millions, okay.
It's not 10 million, but somebody said that last night at public comment. I think, okay, that's, I don't know where you get that number, but it's not that high, but it's enough. And if it was a buck, that's a screw up. If it's hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, that's just totally unacceptable.
Because I found it hard to believe that the city wouldn't know how much wouldn't have crunched the numbers yet, but you said they're just still doing it.
I believe the city manager found out 8 days ago.
Okay, so it's just in process.
He gave me some rough estimates, and then I think a day or two later, he said, well, no, this part's not as bad, this part's worse. And so we should get some answers on that in fairly short order.
So this reminds me a little bit of the arena fraud case, all right? So you've got, in that instance, a fairly clear case of poor oversight of taxpayer money by the city of Bloomington.
Let me correct you on that. No, it's a whole different story.
Think there was poor oversight in the instance of the arena fraud case?
Let me back up. The Coliseum was never a department of the city of Bloomington. The water department, it was a department of the city of Bloomington. Mm-hmm. We had direct control. We couldn't get information from Siam. There were times, we spent hours sometimes in meetings, and I was in many of them, where we wanted information, and their lawyer claimed, no, we do not have to give that to you. We went back and forth, and we were literally going to court.
But the city never sued Siam to try to get
access. We were about to.
But you never did, right?
Yeah, well, no, I'm saying once we found out how bad it was, and again, we were, through our finance department, trying to get information that we should have had. And the other thing is frankly, the contract should have been written more tightly. The contracts were terrible, but that's beside the point. But Siam is a whole different story. Siam, frankly, was a boondoggle from begin with. Even if you think the Coliseum was a good idea, that was a good old boy contract for 10 years. And that also helped protect not the Bloomington taxpayers, but it helped protect Siam. It was not in the best interest in the
but
way that it was.
I guess you may disagree then with the basis for the question. I think, though, that it has been established through the city's audits and the criminal charges that there was poor oversight by the city of Siam in the arena. Is that something you disagree with?
Especially in the earlier years. In fact, when I had a transition meeting with Mayor Stockton in 2013, just after I got elected, that's one of the first things that he brought up. He said, we just can't get information from these people. And, when I first talked to the city manager, this is before I was even I was elected but not sworn in. And that first month, that was one of the top things on their agenda that they were pushing. And this is back in the spring of 2013. So I think in the earlier years, especially, there was probably almost non-existent oversight.
And the whole reason I bring it up, not to just talk about the arena, which is, you know, America's favorite pastime. is I wonder if you have that instance of the arena case, you have this screw up with the billing of water for fire suppression. Do you think that fuels concerns about transparency, that making sure that the gas tax money is actually used on streets? You think that might spur more concerns about transparency when the council takes action on stuff now and even into the future?
Obviously it doesn't help in terms of transparency, but confidence. I mean, I think we've gotten we're about as transparent as you can possibly get, and that is. Not only have we gotten many awards for transparency over the last few years, but I don't know any other mayor anywhere who has a regular open house or, in effect, a town hall meeting every 2 weeks. And we try to get people answers or solve problems on site. And we have Bloomington 101, where you can go through each department and you find out what's going on. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to catch everything or find that some department head somewhere a decade ago didn't do what they should have done. Right. So certainly in terms of image, I see them as apples and oranges, but that's part of the reason why I encourage people to come to the open house or to join Bloomington 101, find out more about that, or to volunteer for a border commission. Get on the many of the decision making bodies. Come on in. It's your city hall. It should be any way that you want to get involved. Let me know. And I will figure out a way to try to get people involved.
So, Mayor Renner, later today, the Connect Transit Board is expected to vote on a mix of fare increases and route changes. Critics say the elimination of the Olive Route, which is in Normal, but some of the other things affect Bloomington. The elimination of that route will make it harder for low-income people on those routes to get where they're going because they'll have to walk, farther to catch the bus. What do you think of what you've heard about these changes up to this point?
Well, let me first say, I'm very proud of Connect Transit. It has been an award-winning small metro transit system. In fact, it was rated the best small metro system in North America. So in terms of as a system, it's critical to having a mobile workforce and to many of the things that you've mentioned. That being said, I would have concerns if the elimination of a route is having the redistributive effect of harming poorer people or poorer neighborhoods, less advantaged neighborhoods, because that's one of the critical reasons why we continue to subsidize in the city of Bloomington by about $600,000 a year, Connect Transit, so that they can also leverage some money. But I don't know all the details of it. I don't know why or what those things are. I will know more after tonight, after we hear the meeting. There were some concerns raised last night, for example, about ISU students getting on for free, whereas other people are going to have to pay a rate increase. But it turns out, of course, that that's part of ISU students' student activity fee. So they're really not getting on the buses for nothing, whereas other people are paying. So it's in that situation, it's a communication issue. That's another reason why transparency is good. There's less miscommunication. We're humans, so there's always miscommunication, but there's less of that. So, in effect, I'm dodging your question because in terms of the details, because I don't really know enough about those details. I do appoint people from Bloomington to represent us, and I think the people that I appoint, I rely on them. We do talk about this. I do talk to Mike McCurdy, Isaac Thorne, Mike, who's the head of the chair of the board, about many different issues. Mostly, we've been talking about the downtown transfer station.
Yeah, and in interest of full disclosure, you mentioned Mike McCurdy. He is our program director here. It makes him my boss. He had no role in the formation of these fine questions. This
well, afternoon. I mean, I brought him up. So let's make that clear for the record.
No, that's good. That's always good to mention. So one of the things I've heard on this is that does Bloomington Normal need a different approach to how it funds mass transit? So right now it's, Connect Transit is funded by a mix of local, state, federal money, the city, town subsidizes a part of the operating costs. It's not like a taxing district. It doesn't have the ability to levy a tax of its own, for example.
Correct.
Do you foresee any need to change that basic model of how it is funded and moving to a taxing district of its own? Or do you think that the way it's working now is pretty much working and, with some tweaks?
Yes and yes. And that is, yes, I think in the short run, we're going to be dealing with tweaks and minor changes. In the long run, of course, the whole nature of transportation is going to be changing in a multimodal society over the next generation to two generations. So there's going to have to be some kind of shift in funding mechanisms. One of the ways we might fund a downtown transfer station, in addition to whatever the city might kick in and Connect Transit, is grant money, and that's grant money could be from the state, could be from the federal government. We could have private sector, public-private partnerships. There are many ways that you piece together a project. And that's why it's important to understand in economic development. You decide what you want to do, and you figure that out, all the different ways that you do to pay for it. That's what Normal has done in Uptown. And so it's not like we have to look far for some clear examples of how to effectively perform economic development. Now, we're going to be a little more conservative, little c, conservative, in how we would give incentives, perhaps, than the town of Normal. We don't have to do as much. We've got the bones in our downtown, and we just need to use our resources more effectively. But going back, to transit funding, the gas tax is a dinosaur. We probably, the federal gas tax, state gas tax, even local gas tax, it's probably going to get us through the next few years, but that all has to be rethought with the rise of electric vehicles or self-driving vehicles and other modes of transportation in the future.
Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner, thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
Thanks, Ryan.
I'm Ryan Denham.
You can find full coverage of Connect Transit board meetings later today at WGLT.org.